All right, we're going to continue and maybe finalize our series we've been going on, which is talking about mind over matters. This is the fourth part of that. You can find all these on our website as well as our YouTube channel if you want to catch up. And the Lord really dropped this on my heart because our mind is the area where we get attacked probably the most in our life. And, you know, New Ageism, they do mind over matter. And like I went into that a little bit when I went and visited that one place, and I just knew it was too weird for me, and I ran to the church then after that, you know what I'm saying? Because I knew that it's not mind over matter, but it's mind over matters. And that's only possible as we get our mind renewed to the Word of God. Now, we're going to talk about today how to control your mind. Not mind control, but how to control your mind. Because that's very important, we learn to do that. Now, I think we could be honest about this, but has anybody here ever changed their mind about something? You know, okay. Now, this is a joke, so don't get mad at me. Now, women do it all the time, don't they? Huh? They can change their mind. At least that's an old one. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't. The way my jokes have been going over today, maybe I shouldn't have tried that one. You know, because all through the announcements, man, I had two or three out there, and this is nothing. It happens. You know, but I know sometimes, you know, maybe we feel very strongly about something and we just know we're right. But then a little bit later, we just do a turnaround and we just change the way we think about something. Maybe somebody persuaded us to think differently. And I believe that with that same thinking, that we can see that we have the ability by the grace of God to change the way we think. Don't feel or don't think that you're locked in to a certain way of living or a way of thinking in your life and thinking that's how it's got to be. You know, you're just a mimic of your parents and the life they lived. And let's say they lived a hard life and they thought a certain way. Now, hopefully you had good parents. You know, all parents are good, but some parents, we struggle with some things. I know I wasn't perfect. You can ask one of my kids who's sitting here today. Don't do it right now. Wait, it might, you know, let me get through this first. Yeah. But, you know, we need to let God's word persuade us, you know, to think differently. Now, there's a lot of matters in life that I mentioned try to drag us down. And we looked at the topic, the idea when we started this, that in 1 Corinthians 2:16, it talks about we have the mind of Christ. Now, when I first became a believer, I did not think like Jesus did. Now, as I've grown older and more mature in the things of God, yes, I do. I have been able to turn the corner. And I can look at situations and circumstances more like my Savior does, my Lord and Savior. But starting out, it's not like that, because when you get born again, you know, your spirit's made new, but you still maybe think the way that you did before you was even saved in a lot of ways. And we need to turn that around. Remember, the mind of Christ is when we start to think like Jesus thinks. And when we start to think like Jesus thinks, we start to develop a godly worldview where we start to see the world around us as God does. And I really feel that as we do that, we can see the potential of what we have to be able to lead people to the Lord and to bring them out of darkness into light. You know, I was in darkness and then I came to the light. You know, I know there's a lot of people out there. I know there's people that when they looked at me when I first started out, you know, they said there was no hope for me. I've had people actually tell me that after I became a Christian, they said, I never thought you would have ever got saved. Now, I wasn't, you know, a serial killer or anything like that, but, you know, the things I did, I just loved to have a good time. And I didn't honor God with my life. And so it shocked them. But I was, something fully persuaded me to change my mind. And then I went a different way, and I thank God for that. We're going to kick off today, found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And this is kind of talking about where we were before we're saved. And maybe you're here today, you're listening in today, and maybe you're not a Christian. Well, this is what the Bible says about us when we don't know Christ. And it says in verse 1, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Ouch. Even, you know, you might have been the nicest person, but this is how we are compared to where God thinks we need to be, or says we need to be. Then it says, among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh. Here's a key. Indulging in the desires of the flesh and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you right now for supernatural unction by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for a special stirring in each of our hearts today, Lord, that we want to draw closer to you. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing that is breaking every yoke of bondage upon our lives. Lord, right now, I yield to the gift you've given me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words about pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to jump into this. That passage painted a picture of what it's like where we're at in darkness before we know Christ. So then, once we get born again, see, Paul was telling this to the Ephesian church. He was reminding them where they were. And we have to remember where we have come from sometimes. So we kind of see, you know, that we don't want to go back there. And what we know is the fact that once you become a Christian, yes, you start to change your thinking a little bit, but not everything is changed instantaneously. It's a process. And we all start off with wrong thinking. You know, we've all had it, and it holds us back from experiencing the riches and the depth of God. Now, really, what happens in life, sometimes, you know, we get into the Word a little bit, and we start to learn a little bit about Jesus, you know what I mean? You may even learn a scripture you memorized or something like that. But what happens then is when problems come. Everybody's had problems, right? All of a sudden, maybe a job loss or a health issue or something going on. Maybe you got in strife with somebody. Well, all of a sudden, your world gets rocked a little bit. You get shaken. What happens then is we go back to our default setting. You know what I mean by a default setting? You know, when like your computer or something starting to act wacko or something, you hit the default, you go back to the default, roll it back to the default setting, and that's how we came from the factory. Well, we come from the factory of the world. You know what I'm saying? And we go back to that default setting, and then we start to think and operate according to the way that we used to be. Because, you know, it causes us to think like the world thinks, the world system. See, the world systems is against God. We've all realized that so far, right? After you became a Christian, you don't see it when you're in it. You know, because you're in the forest. But once you get up on the hill and look back, you can just see how messed up the world system is and how it's so anti-God and anti, you know, wanting to submit itself to the things of God. And we need to understand that because what the world's trying to do is to mold us into its image. Like you make a snowball, it's trying to form us. It's trying to make us into the thing that it wants to be. See, the world is trying to conform us. And the Lord, or the world is looking to conform us, but the Lord is looking to transform us. And see, that's the power of God when we have the transformed life. And that's awesome. And it's for everybody. Anybody can have it. Anybody can have the transformed life. It's something that Jesus just offers us. But what we have to do is we have to start to participate in the things of God. We have to start to pay attention, you know, to the things that God's telling us, so that we start to allow Him to change us. You know, before I was a Christian, you know, I thought a lot of Christian stuff was boring. You know what I mean? I'll be honest with you. I mean, I just thought it was really boring. But I'll tell you what, once I met Jesus, I found out how wrong I was. He fully persuaded me to change my thinking about Christianity. And I found out how life-giving it was. You know, because when I went to the world to try to gain life, that life maybe was just a fleeting there for a moment. I maybe got a little touch and got a little bump. But see, it was nothing that could sustain me. But when I met Jesus Christ, my life was totally changed. And he started to impart his wisdom and revelation to me. You know, to me. And the Bible says that we're walking according to the course of this world. See, the world is going along a certain path, and it wants us all to walk on it. It wants us to stay on that. You know, it's a well-beaten path due to heavy traffic. You know, you can kind of tell where the critters have been going through the field, or you can tell where people have been walking on the grass all the time. What happens? It gets beat down. You can actually tell where everybody has been walking. And see, that's what happens in to us when the things of this world cause us to conform. The world doesn't want us to get off the path. You know, don't get on the grass, stay on the path. And see, that's what it's trying to do. It wants us all to stay the same way because the world wants us to think a certain way, so we'll act a certain way and we'll walk a certain way. And that's what they're trying to do. Now, I'm going to throw this out there. Look recently with this COVID-19 pandemic, how the world system tried to make us all conform. I'm not saying everything they had us do was wrong. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that everybody, they wanted everybody to be on the same page, doing the same thing, and there was power in that. We all had to conform, and they wanted us to think like they thought. And I'll be honest, everything that they said, I don't believe was true. And I don't believe that. But if you stepped off the path, you were publicly shamed. Isn't that correct? And I think we've all been that way. You know. I'm not saying we shouldn't participate and be a good citizen. That's not what I'm saying there. But I am saying it just opened my eyes to see, you know, just how they could shut down churches. And they're still trying to do it in other states right now. Just shut them down. You know, where it's okay to go out and march and protest, but it's not okay to go to a house of worship and to be able to worship God. That's the world system. That's trying to shut us down. That's trying to make us to silence our voice. And so what's happened, it gets us into trouble. See, they make us feel that if you don't conform, you're not a good citizen, you're not playing for the team. You know, you're not right. And see what that is? That's carnal thinking. Carnal thinking. See, that's the problem that we have when we're born into this planet, is that our mind is not renewed to the things of God yet. And see, that carnal thinking is dangerous because the carnal mind does not want to subject itself to the things of God. See, carnally minded people set their mind on the flesh, and that's the way of death, and it's talking about spiritual death. You know, that carnal thinking, that world thinking that holds us up. And see, what we need to remember that we don't need to try to blend in. Now, I'm not talking about just poking the bear, you know, just for the fun of it. But I am saying that we don't need to keep trying to blend in as a church. You know, we need to stand out. If we don't want to stand out, at least stand up. Stand up for what you believe in and what the Word says. That's why God put us here. That's why God left us here. You know, he wants us to reach as many people. See, people are confused. See, I had a carnal mind. I did not understand what God was like. See, I thought God was bad and mean, and he didn't want me to have any fun and do all these things. You know, when I met Jesus, I'll tell you what, just the curtain was lifted back. The God of this world had blinded me. But once them blinders were taken off, I understood what God is really like. God loves us. Amen. God wants a relationship. I didn't even want a relationship with me sometimes. But God wanted a relationship with me. He loved me. And that just totally was different because that carnal thinking tried to make me think that God is bad. He doesn't want us to have fun. And, you know, and what happens then is that we have that old nature. You know what self-preservation is, right? We try to protect ourselves, you know. And what happens is the old nature wants self-preservation. The old nature doesn't want to give up. It doesn't want to relinquish control of our life. Even though you're a Christian, yeah, you can be born again, spirit-filled, you know, talking in tongues, singing in the Spirit, and dancing in the Holy Ghost, and doing all these things, but you can still have some wrong thinking. And that's why we need to try to turn the corner on that. Because carnal thinking is when we give in to desires of the flesh, like I said, is the enmity towards God. It's God's enemy. And see, it's a major problem that you and I all face, you know, and this is the problem that's set before each and every one of us that we have to deal with. And to be honest, you know, I don't want to make it sound doom and gloom, but the deck's stacked against us if you think about it. Between our old nature and the world system, we're in for a battle, but we got to be ready to fight, people. We got to be ready to fight. We need to stand up on the inside. We need to renew our mind to the Word of God. Just because the world tells us something's true, we don't have to accept that. We need to look to the Word of God. The Word of God will tell us what God says is true. Oh, we may stand with a few or maybe even stand alone sometimes. But one person with God is a majority, in my opinion. One person with God, that's all he needs. Some mouthpiece, somebody who's willing to go out and to pray the price and maybe pay the price. See, the battle, and see, it's so easy to go with, go with the flow. You know, I used to have an old saying that any fish can float, any dead fish can float downstream, but alive one, it takes the flow upstream, right? And see, what's happened is that we get lulled to sleep, people. We're called the silent majority by the people on TV. I don't know what it was. But, we get lulled to sleep. We're just going around our business. We do things. And, you know, we just get lulled into this action right here. And we don't really step outside of ourselves. And I believe we need to do that. Step back and think about what we're thinking about. What am I thinking about? You know, do we take time to do that? See, God, see, without God, all things would be hopeless. But see, God has given us a way to turn these things around. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, 1 Peter 1, verse 13, it says, therefore, and when it says therefore, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to look and see what it's there for, right? It says, prepare our minds for action. Another translation, my old New American Standard, you say gird. Gird your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace which is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's a good one. See, we need to gird our mind for action or prepare our mind. You know, God wants us to do this. This is what God says we have to do. See, God did what He was supposed to do, right? God went to the cross. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, which is God, God the Son. He went to the cross and He paid His price, paid the price for all of us. And then He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And little do we know that He's waiting for His enemies to be made His footstool. See, we're in the army of God. Well, we got to think about that a little bit. See, when you gird something, see, back in the day, I call them robes, but really they call them tunics. You know, the men wore tunics, and it looks like a robe to me. It's kind of free-flowing. I think they'd probably be fun to have one. I don't know. But when you went out to work or you went into battle, you put a belt on to tie it down. Why? If you was in a fight with somebody, they could easily grab a free-flowing robe and grab a hold of it and maybe, you know, get a hold of you and stick a knife or a sword in you or just throw you to the ground or whatever. Why? So they tied this down so the enemy couldn't get a hold of them when they were in battle. And that's what we need to see what we're in. See, most people's minds are not girded or prepared for action, meaning, you know, we allow our minds to be scattered and just flowing everywhere. And see, our mind sometimes is like that tunic that hasn't been flowed around. It's just kind of floating out there. Our mind's going everywhere. Oh, this looks kind of interesting. Oh, yeah, I believe in, oh, that's, yeah, that's kind of nice. You know, evolution. Oh, maybe I'll think about, you know, maybe some other religion. You know, that sounds, yeah, that might be true. I mean, why do, you know? But if you look at the Word of God, there's salvation in no other than Jesus Christ. See, we need to gird our minds and tie them down so that we understand exactly, you know, what the Word of God is telling us. Meaning, you know, we won't let other people control what we're thinking about. And I've said this several times during this series. Believe me, this is the gospel truth. And it's not the gospel, but it's just the world's truth. The media tells us what to think about. They tell us what's important. And there's all kinds of things going around this world, but they pick what they want us to hear. And they're all in cahoots for the most part. And they're getting us, trying to get us to all think. We got to think outside that. We need to pull ourselves back and see that, yeah, well, that's just part of the picture. That's maybe not all the picture. We need to be free thinking in the sense that, you know, we're not going to be a lemming just jumping over the cliff because they tell us to. And because we don't want our mind to be one of those tunics, you know, that they can get a hold of. See, we're just going through the motions and not controlling our thoughts for the most time. I know what happens. You get working, you're working hard. I know a lot of you, and some of you single moms have it really hard. You know, you're going to work, then you come home, you're taking care of the kids, and, you know, all these different things. Your mind is just, it's hard for you to think about what you're thinking about. You can't control what you're thinking about because you got to think about this other stuff. But nevertheless, we need to find a way. We need to find a way so that we can win the victory over this. So we can easily become a mindless drone, and that's really what the world system wants. They don't want us to speak up. They don't want us to tell the truth. They just want us to shut up, fall in line, and march. We need to step out of the crowd. We need to see what the Word says. See, God tells us to prepare our mind. God's not going to do it for us. God gave us the Word. It's what we do. We all have the same opportunity. We all have 24 hours in the day. Well, most of us have access to a Bible. And what we're going to do we want to put a little time, you know, in there trying to get change the way we're thinking? So we actually see what God says. This life is just a sliver. It's just a short little patch as compared to all eternity. And God wants us to get it right down here. And I believe we can. You know, we have the Holy Ghost living inside of us. And being a Christian is the most exciting thing that we could ever do. So we need to train our mind for action. You know, we need to believe for the best and prepare for the worst. You know, I'm an optimist. I mean, when I see somebody and I meet them, you know, I give them the benefit of the doubt. And I'll give them several benefits. You know, I believe because I know what God did in me. And I know what God has done in other people that I've ministered to, that everybody else had given up on. So I give them the chance. You know, I believe for the best in them. And I believe for the best in my life. I don't believe bad things are going to happen, but I still prepare for them. I still pay my insurance. You know what I'm saying? I still do those things. I keep up on the things I need to do. But I just believe in God. I'm believing God has good things for me. I believe God's going to take care of me. God loves me. And I believe God loves you just as much as He loves me. And so we need to believe for the best and not get a negative attitude about the things that are going on around us. You know, the Bible says, as a man, you know, thinks in his heart, so is he. So we need to change our thinking. You know, God's not about mind control, but about controlling the information that we allow in our mind. And I want us to think about that for a minute. Control the information that we allow in our mind. We become what we think about, whether we like it or not, because that's just the way we go. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. This is a very familiar warfare. You know, if you're into spiritual warfare, and like I mentioned, we're going to be doing a series on that this year. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, there we go. Walking in the flesh means walking according to the world. It says, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We're destroying, here it is, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive. Okay, there's a key. Taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? That means our thinking, our mind, the things that's going through there, we need to take them captive and hold them up to the light of God's Word and to see if we're thinking the way that we need to be thinking. Now, it is going to take a little bit of effort, you know, on our part. That means we're going to have to maybe spend a little time reading, you know, checking things out, seeing what God says. But, you know, these are the weapons of our warfare because we're in a battle. The battle's for our mind. Remember that. The devil wants to take our mind. See, we can't win spiritual mind games with carnal or fleshly weapons. And see, that's what it is, mind games. See, the devil's trying to play with our mind. He's messing with us. He's trying to get us off our game. He's making us think that we're not worthy or we're not loved, that nobody cares, and that there's no future, there's no hope. I don't have a plan, so things aren't going to work out. I've always failed before, so why should I think I'll ever succeed? Mind games. The things that he puts in there. We need to take every thought captive. We need to choose what we think about. You know, we need to submit our thoughts to the obedience of Christ. You know, what is God telling us? You know, I know what so-and-so told me. I know what, you know, the world's telling me. But what does God say about this situation? You know, I think I said this last week. I wanted to say it again. We can't control every thought that comes into our mind, but we can choose the ones that stay there. That's 100% true. You're going to have weird thoughts. Anybody had a weird thought? Maybe you're having one right now. Why don't he get done yet? You know? Weird thoughts come in. And some of them are just so out there. Now, maybe you don't have those, but I've had those. Well, where'd that come from? That's not what I feel or think. Well, they're from the devil, the world system. Now, I can entertain that thought and keep it in there and just ponder it for a while. I'm going to think about that. Or I can just kick it out. Take it captive to the obedience of Christ. That's why a lot of people have affairs. Not a lot of people, I hope, but yeah, quite a few. Oh, they get a thought coming in there. Ooh, that person looks hot. Ooh, they think I'm hot. I'm going to think about that a while. Nobody's ever thought about me like that for a while. I know my husband hasn't or my wife hasn't. I'm going to entertain that thought. Well, you entertain that thought for a while. Before you know it, that thought, you know, is making you walk that way. See? That thought should have, boom, when it come in, boom, just kick it out. Don't even go there. There's no future. There's no hope. All there is splitting half your stuff. You know what I'm saying? You know, maybe you got enough stuff to split, but I know I don't. You know what I'm saying? I'm kicking that thought out, even if it came in there. You know, we have to learn how to fight to win, to be able to understand what God's telling us to do. You know, the Word needs to have the final say. But sometimes we read the Word and God tells us this, and then we say, yeah, but I think. You know, I think, you know, and that gets us in trouble. See, maybe life isn't good right now for you. We cycle, don't we? I mean, there's times, I mean, I'll be honest with you, we're on the mountain, yay. But every now and then, we're in the valley. And maybe life's hard for you right now. Maybe, you know, you don't feel loved. You don't feel appreciated. My wife better not raise her hand right now. I'm watching her. See? I'm kidding. No. I was trying to levity. It's getting a little heavy in here, so I thought I'd tell it. But that's true, isn't it? Sometimes we feel those ways. Maybe you're going through a real bad time right now. You know, here's a simple key to winning. Choose to think about the good things you have. That was too easy, wasn't it? Choose to think about something else. And if we do that, we've defeated the devil right there. Amen. As simple as it is. I mean, it sounds too easy, doesn't it? But we don't do it, do we? We choose to think about the bad things because our flesh is getting gratified. But see, the Bible says we need to put our flesh down. You know, we need to think about them good things. See, bad thinking won't make our life better, but it'll make it worse. Okay, our last scripture I want to look at today is Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. It says, finally, that's just as important as therefore, for those of you who are wondering. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. I like that word, dwell. I don't know. It kind of means think on these things, but the word dwell means to occupy oneself with reckonings or calculations, to reason or think or ponder or to value or esteem. See, it means you really put your mind on it. You know, you start thinking about it. You start solving a problem. You start to concentrate on it. You know what I'm saying? You start to think on those good things that you have. You know, like I always used to say when, you know, my wife and I have had a couple discussions over our marriage, you know. Some call them fights. I just call them discussions. But, you know, I would always tell myself, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And I would tell myself that until my mind started to believe it. or my feelings had to come in subjection to that. Because our feelings lie. Oh, feelings are good as long as they're good, right? But when feelings are bad, that's when we go down the wrong road. See, we become what we think about. You know, if we think carnal, we become carnal. If we think spiritual, we become spiritual. Just as simple as that. See, the carnal mind doesn't want to dwell on these things. It may visit there for a while, but it won't live there. That's why we need to renew that carnal mind. You know, and we do that by, you know, some of you, how many's ever stepped on the scales? Why do you do that? To see if you, you know, put on the COVID-19, you know, 19 pounds during the COVID-19. Now, you want to check and see where you're at, right? So you step on the scales and see if you need to cut back a little bit. I mean, there's probably a few of you might need to increase your intake, but for the most part, the rest of us, we need to decrease. You know, we have scales, and maybe we check ourselves, and that's why they have tests at school to kind of see where you're at, what you really know. And see, I think we need to step back and think about what we're thinking about. What's been occupying our mind, you know, for the last several days? Are we worried, or are we living carelessly where we don't have a care in the world? Are we thinking about the things that are going good in our life, or are we comparing ourselves to somebody else who has more stuff than we got? See, these are just practical applications we can do as we think about what we're thinking about, because if we think about the wrong stuff, we're going to make a lot of mistakes. See, good thoughts just don't happen. We need to put them there. You have to put good thoughts in your mind, because they're not just going to happen. You know, think the best and forget about the rest is one that I have. It's just simple for me, but I think about the best and forget about the rest. And, you know, 99% of the time I do that. Every now and then I'll get off my game and, you know, and it'll coax me back on the path, but I try to get back on the grass again. See, some people, you know, do more thinking about what car they want to buy rather than the spiritual trajectory for their life. You know, we'll spend hours shopping on something, right? That'll probably be in next year's garage sale, you know? But then when it comes to our spiritual trajectory, we don't really put a lot of time and effort into where do I want to be? You know, what? You know, where do I want to go? You know, what do I think God is wanting me to do or leading me to do? To do that, we need to practice focused thinking. You know, we need to choose our thoughts. This is the answers right here that we're looking for. Practice focused thoughts. You know, not mind control, but learning how to control your mind. Now, I'm going to give you something simple. Now, this may not connect with everybody. Basically, probably not a lot of people, but it's for me. I like it. I like to play tennis. I know it doesn't look like it, but I love tennis, always have. And because I like it, because number one, you only have to find one other person to play, where in basketball, you got to find extra. Of course, you can play one-on-one, but that'll about kill you. You know, that's a lot of work. You know, and tennis, you can dog it a little bit, not go after the shot. Say, hey, good shot, man. I couldn't get that. But anyway, but tennis, it trains your mind. And a lot of sports have done that. And there's other things. Just fill in the blanks for what works for you. But in tennis, you know, every now and then, a guy might get down love 40. Love 40 means that, you know, you've lost 3 points in a row. If you lose one more, that game's over. Now, you can sit there and you can think about, oh, man, if I miss one more, I lost this game. But what I've done is I've learned how to, I just think about the next point. I train my mind. All I'm looking at is 1540. I want to get back. 1540. Well, then I win that point. Well, then I think about the next one, 3040. Next one, 40-40, we're tied, deuce. You know, just 1 point ahead. And see, what happens is that helps me because it's trained me my ability to focus. And I think that's something that we have learned as a culture, because we're mindless drones, because we're so into, we sit on the couch or in the chair, and I know I do this myself, I'm not throwing stones. But then we just hit a button and we're told what to think about. We don't have to think on our own. But see, when I play tennis, it forces me to concentrate. And I believe if we learn the power of concentration and the ability to have focused thinking, it's going to make us stronger, because then we'll be able to gird our mind for action. We're going to have it tied down where these fleeting thoughts, these lies from the enemy, keep trying to come into our mind, and we're able to put them down and not let them penetrate our mind. See, we need to practice thinking on good things. Now, in closing, you know, we need to think about what we're thinking about. Like I say, Christianity is not about mind control, but learning how to control our minds. And it's very important. You know, we can be, you know, free from carnal thinking as we learn how to think on the things of the Lord and what He wants us to think about. Now, I know it sounds like a little bit of effort. I know some of you are saying, I really don't want to do that. But I encourage you to think about it. Get that one? No. Don't think about it. Just do it. Just try it. We're on this 21 days of prayer and fasting. Let's just look at a three-week commitment to something, okay? 3 weeks. Not a large commitment. And just kind of do a self-monitoring and think about what you're thinking about. Do some prayer in the mornings, like when we hook up. And then do some fasting. You know, I don't fast as much as I need to. The other day we had that prayer thing here at the church, and I fasted that day. It was one of the easiest fasts I've ever done in my life. You know, that just tells me that God's wanting to move me into something. You know what I'm saying? He's calling. See, every now and then God's calling us, and we need to respond. And in doing so, we know that God has a place He wants to take us that we've never been there yet. And to do that, we need a guide. And that guide is the Holy Spirit. Let's pray.